You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to make that big decision. Yeah. I want to win championships. I want to win bowl games. Where else is a better place to do it than your city? Oh.
The power of home represents something. The DMV, like, you try to explain it to people that aren't from there, and it's hard to explain it.
That thing we talk about, Maryland pride, is real. And the way we're going to play with Maryland pride.
He's going to go! Touchdown, Maryland!
The Terrapins have one last shot at winning this game. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, throws it up.
Money!
And he got it! And the Terrapins win at the buzzer! Ho-ho-ho! Showtime!
Oh,
what a play by Bias! Holy cow!
Maryland hits the road to beat Penn State.
Maryland pulls off the upset.
They have defeated number one, and the celebration is on.
And the kids have done it. Maryland wins their first ever national championship, holding up Indiana 64-52. And let's listen and look at the celebration.
Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great. Some achieve greatness. And others host college sports and recruiting podcasts.
You're listening to IMS Radio at InsideMarylandSports.com. Your hosts, Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and Larry France.
What a week we've had here at Maryland. We have an actual game to talk about, a victory, a commit, and we've got an amazing guest to talk to about all of it. Tarheeb Still, he's been with the team. This is his fourth year. He's been a starter all 4 years. Very rare in college football and college sports in general, really. Four-year starter. He's been played in something like 31 games and started most of them. I think there were a couple when he had the injury last year or 2 years ago he had the injury and he was kind of half playing. But four-year starter, Tarheeb Still, awesome Terp. Very glad to have him. And, Paul, we had an awesome time last week at the tailgate, did we not, and at the game?
Of course, man. I miss it every year. It's good to see everybody again. Thanks again. Big ups to Don and Laura Sheeler for inviting us on up to the Sweet Life. That was nice. Always love to catch up with them. And Don's the man. No, there are no better Terps in the world than Don and Laura. It was just a really good old time. I know people are a little, you know, concerned about the score line, and we'll get in that a little bit, but I mean Locke's played like 90%.
He wasn't trying to.
Yeah,
they could have won by 50 if they wanted to.
Yeah,
he wasn't trying to.
Pretty clear, you know, up 21-0 in the first quarter, you know.
I think
pretty clear he took his foot off the gas and they ran some pretty vanilla stuff early on, so like it's all good, man.
In that suite were some other people who will go unnamed. And let me just say, there were some things said in the suite that were very interesting. Paul, would you like to get into any of that, or is that just between us?
Look, man, what happens in the suite stays in the suite. You know what I mean? We just got to, you know, you don't get invited back to the suite. You start talking like that. So
yeah,
that's a good point.
But yeah, it's always nice to roam around Ticer, and you run into some interesting people that you haven't seen in a while. And, you know, everybody's got some thoughts to share, some scoops, some fun stuff. So yeah, it was a good time.
It's good. Before the game, I started off over by past lot one, over by the church lot.
Yeah, you made the whole traverse.
I did.
Like, all the way across, right?
Well, I don't have season tickets because I still can't. I know I'm the empty nester. I still can't go to every game. Yeah. I can go to about three. And so then I just buy each week, you know, with depending on the games that I can go to. But I parked in the church lot. I started off at Ben Page's tailgate, which is the old line tailgate, which, again, I'm giving the publicity to because it's awesome. If you aren't sure where to go, how you want to tailgate, what you want to do with the Maryland game, go to the old line tailgate. It's the end of lot one, close to the, what side is it? The west side of camp, western side of the lot. And they do an amazing job. It's $25, I think, for an adult. All you can eat with great, they got great grillers there. They're grilling sausages and burgers and everything. All you can drink, old line, awesome. Then I walked all the way to the other side over to your tailgate and sweat my ass off because I wanted to go to, and this is a public service announcement, I wanted to go to the team store in Xfinity as well and buy some new stuff, which I did. See, everything I have is a little old. This one's new, but public service announcement, it's no longer there in Xfinity. It's gone.
What?
It's gone. The team store in Xfinity was not there. And it's not even that it was closed. Literally all the stuff was taken out and there was a sign saying that they had moved to to the student union, which that was already there. So really, I think they just closed it. Maybe.
I can't believe that they will not have a team store when basketball season comes around. Like maybe they're, you know what? And maybe they're going to move it somewhere, you know, once the basketball programs move out. Maybe they're just kind of.
Maybe I don't know, but I'm just saying that's what happened to
me. It's weird, right?
So then I walked from your tailgate to the union, then all the way back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
To buy a sweatshirt when it's like 100 degrees out, you know.
Well, I bought a t-shirt too, and I bought some other stuff. I just wanted to get some new gear. Hadn't had any while.
Yeah. But, you know, again.
Jeff, you were going to say something. I cut you off. Sorry.
Paul's right. You have to have a team store in the basketball arena, but the one they had was kind of, wasn't the best location ever, but that's really weird. That's unusual.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're trying to workshop a better solution for that. But yeah, I imagine that was a little bit off-putting.
Well, you know, I just thought it was there, but it was good to see you guys anyway. And I grabbed the piece of Lido pizza that you had there. So that was cool.
Yeah, there are worse things, right?
We always love the Lido pizza.
Yep. Yep, and respect to the Lido.
Of course, they won, and you alluded to it, the score not being what some people wanted. They didn't cover. But I, like I said, I maintain he played as many people as he could. He intentionally was trying not to embarrass his alma mater. I don't put much stock in that. There are things you can say about Loxley. In this case, I give the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's a big deal.
No. And I mean, you took Talia out at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
They had a handful of drops. If they don't have that many drops, you probably score two more touchdowns. There's definitely some area of concern that we'll get to. I guess we got Tar Heap in 5 minutes. We can get to that after. But, you know, offensive line, obviously – broken record there. I guess we were right during the offseason, all the concerns expressed about that. I mean, there's issues there, but I agree. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. And they should do the same thing to Charlotte this weekend, although, you know, they're going to come in. This is a Super Bowl for them. This is like a program building Super Bowl homecoming, you name it, for them. So it'll be interesting. They'll play hard, but on the flip side, Maryland knows that this is all those things for them. So they should not be susceptible to overlooking them.
Well, those relationships go both ways. The Charlotte players and coach have the relationship with, but Maryland has a relationship with them too. So
that's true, but it's a much more valuable win for them. You know, that would be, I have no idea what Charlotte football's biggest win ever is, but it, you know, it'd be one of them, I'm sure. So
it would be.
Yeah.
Maryland, I mean, Maryland, it's just another win, you know.
This is that kind of no-win situation, right? Like, you know, if you win, it's, you know, you were supposed to beat them anyway. And if you lose, you know, it kind of breaks you. So, I mean, I don't think they're really in any danger of losing. And I think you'd like to see a better performance overall. And I imagine if you're Loxley, if I'm Loxley, I'm looking at this schedule thinking, okay, look, you've got like a four-game runway here, right? You know, the first game you play everybody, you get kids experience, everybody starts feeling good about themselves. And with Charlotte to Virginia, and then you finally go to East Lansing in week four, you know, you're probably playing a few less players, trying to get a few more guys, a little more consistent, figure out exactly who your starters are going to be, especially on the lines where there's clearly been competition. And kind of with each week, you hopefully would have less guys on the participation chart, little more consistency with starting lineups. I mean, this week they were subbing in offensive linemen in the middle of drives. Like, you never do shit like that. So
yeah,
I'm just not concerned about it. If they beat Charlotte by a touchdown, I will be concerned. I don't think that's going to happen. So we're just gonna lay back. We know Maryland's always generally good in these types of games. They're good in September, and Loxley's trying to figure out who his guys are on the lines. And I'm happy to let him do that, even if it costs somebody their, you know, FanDuel bet for the week.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you wanted an update on my bets last week.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I went 4 for 8, but lost money.
I thought you were taking money line underdogs.
I was taking money line favorites.
No. Not week one, Larry.
Not all of them.
Okay.
Some of them were
week
favorites.
Week one, week two are like upset city, man. That's when you take the long shots.
I did have a couple of those. Neither of them hit.
Was Clemson
Duke,
one
Duke
of them?
Duke was sitting right there.
Yeah, I didn't have Duke.
No, yeah.
But look, I mean,
I wonder what the money line on that was. That had to be like 800 or something.
I don't know, but if you're going to gamble, you're going to have losses. If you can't deal with that, then you shouldn't gamble, right? You're going to have weeks you win, games you lose, weeks you lose. That's part of it.
The juice is there for a reason, right? You go 50-50, you're still losing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you wanted the update. There it was.
So it was a lovely weekend of college football. It really was. It was so nice to be back.
Five straight days. It was so great. Starting Thursday night, I was so excited. I even turned off the Orioles for a little bit to just watch on Thursday night. Even it was shitty games, I was like, yes, college football. Yep. And all weekend, Friday night, Saturday, couldn't really watch because we're at the game, but at the tailgates, people have the games on. People had Virginia, Tennessee. Speaking of which, Virginia looks
– yeah, they're terrible.
I'm sorry for their loss. I know they're dealing with some stuff, but they look terrible. And Tar Heeb is joining us now, so let me let him in the room.
All right. Let's get it right from the source here.
Tar Heeb, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Appreciate it.
Hey, very excited to have you on the show with us, especially after week one. Season's underway. Can't believe it after the long off season. Off to a 1-0 start. Charlotte next week. How are you feeling about things right now?
Feeling real good about things. Playing Charlotte, you know. There's a lot of guys that came from our team that's over there now. But really just excited for the opportunity to go out there and play. It's actually a night game, too. I'm really excited about that. So that should be fun.
Sorry, have you guys talked much about how this is their Super Bowl, both in terms of getting a big name win and also how many of those guys, like you mentioned, are coming home and, you know, how important it is, obviously, not to overlook them?
Well, we've mentioned it. Obviously, this would be a big win for them. But also, as you said, like the guys that came from our team that went there, But also, we know that they're going to go out there and play hard, but we just have to treat it as every game is a big game for us as well. So we can't think of them as any less of a team or anything like that. So we know they're going to go out there and really try to get this win. And we are too, but we really got to be more focused and just really go out there with the right preparation.
Steve, it's kind of crazy. You've been a four-year starter here. You're like the old man in the cornerback room, right? So, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about what the plan is for you this year? Because you've been on the outside, you've been on the inside. What are they gonna put you at the field or boundary this year and help those young guys grow? And then, what do you feel about the rest of the cornerback room? Who should we be looking for to step up?
Well, starting off, I'll say for me, really, it's just they're just gonna find ways to move me all over the field. Whether it's outside, inside, maybe a little safety, you never know. But really just find ways to create matchups, take away things that teams do. And then with the younger guys coming along, we have a lot of freshmen, a lot of younger guys who really are starting to pick up on it and learn fast. I say those guys are really competitive. They really want to play hard. We got guys like Perry, Lionel, Kevis Thomas. We got a lot of guys like Corey Cole. He's not really a younger guy, but he's a guy that hasn't really – started a lot of games, but now he's getting more into that role. So I think the room will be in great hands for sure. There's a lot of young guys that are very competitive and want to go out there and make plays.
Speaking with Tarheeb Still, 6'1 cornerback out of New Jersey, four-year starter at Maryland. Paul alluded to your 4 years at the school. You've been with Loxley. Were you part of his first class, right? His first class. So everybody talks about him, and you got recruited by him. And everybody talks about what a great recruiter he is, what a great guy he is. Do you have any examples of why that is the case? Like, what drew you to him? Were there certain things he does, the way he relates to you, anything like that?
Well, first, I would just say when the first day I met him, I can tell he was real serious about like football and about his business, but also he cares about his players. So just a lot of things he told me in recruiting, I would say every one of them came true. He told me I would get a chance to come in as a freshman and compete for a job to start. And he gave me the opportunity and I took advantage of it. And then really the things he does here. So like we have the mentorship program where he puts everyone in a mentor. It's just the little stuff. You can tell he really cares about you as a player. And also as a person. And then I would say the vision he had for this program throughout the recruiting, when we sat down to talk, I knew this was something that I would want to be a part of and something that I want to build. So I feel like everything he's told me throughout recruiting and even now, it all stands true. He's a man of his word.
Along similar lines, Tarheeb, so there's not many guys who've been on the field, key guys for both parts of this turnaround at the beginning, when things were still kind of down in the dumps from what Mike inherited, and then now with the success you're having. So how different is the vibe and the general attitude, you know, kind of the winning attitude compared to what it was, you know, 3 years ago and now, kind of the expectation levels and just the personality of the program?
I would really just say Lox, he really just said, he said a culture, something that the players, like a player-ran culture, I would say. He tells us all the time that it's really our team. The coaches just manage it and they just oversee it. So I think guys really take that serious now, because you can't, if your coach is the one yelling, if your coach is the one telling guys everything to do, then I don't think your team will be that successful. You need guys within the team to run the team and really be on guys, I would say. So he really just built a very strong culture for us. And then he also showed us the right things we need to do to win. And I think guys are really taking that into account now and really seeing it now that we're seeing more success year by year. And then now guys want to take that next step and win those big games, those big games that we all know about. So I feel like he set the right culture in place and put the right players in leadership of roles. So I feel like, yeah.
So we didn't plan this out, but I'll build on that too. So, you know, you're talking about that final step, right? You've been around a long time. You know what this is like to play in college, you know, college football at a high level. So what do you feel like it's going to take to take that next level for, you know, from, you know, getting to a bowl game to winning a couple of bowl games? And now it's like, all right, we're going to start knocking off the big dogs and fight for a championship. What do you think it's going to take to make that next step here?
Well, first I would just say guys, everyone on the team knowing their job, knowing their role. and then doing their role the best of their ability, not worrying about other guys' roles and whose role's bigger, smaller, things like that. I feel like everybody has a part to play. Even if you're just on special teams, not even playing in the offensive, defensive snaps, everybody has a role. And then guys really understand their role and want to do that role to the best of their ability. That will lead to a lot of success. And also, I would just say, really just going out there and having fun. Like Coach tells us, like, we build a bond. So you go out there with your brother and you're just having fun on Saturday playing football. I feel like you have to have fun too, but also just knowing your job and then doing that job to the best of your ability.
Darheem, two of your brethren in the secondary got drafted last year. Obviously, that's the goal for every college player. Is that something that's in the back of your head right now? Like, I want to be that next, or do you keep that out of your mind? You got to focus on the season and you'll focus on that later.
I would say it's hard not to think about, but I just really just try to take it day by day, like play football, go to practice week by week, play the games. And then I'll just let that sort itself out in the end. Really, because I try not to think about it, because if you think about it, you're going to trip yourself up in the head, and it's going to mess with you a lot. So really, I'm just trying to just play football, get through these games, hopefully get to the conference championship, and then see what happens. And then,
and along similar lines, I feel like in any ways that it helped you playing with those guys, both, you know, as good as they were, and also now that they're in the NFL, in terms of them being able to give you some feedback and things like that.
Yeah, I actually think it helps me a lot. You know, I played with those guys for three years. And then now, like, the relationship we have, like, me, Ja'Corian, and Deontay, we're all in the group chat. So we talk every day. They send me film of them going against receivers. And then I asked them, like, the first thing I asked them after they got drafted was, like, tell me the process. Tell me what it's like. Tell me what I need to know. Because those guys are, like, big brothers to me. I appreciate them guys. And they also, they're giving me the little keys and the little things that I need to know for when I go through the process. And then they're just telling me how it's like how their day-to-day life is, what they do, how practice is, like different things like that. So I appreciate those guys for that. Just giving me a little insight on how it is on the next level. And I'm appreciative for it.
All right, Heeb, I got two questions and they're very important. All right. So I need you to focus here. All right. First of all, I need a rundown on how Loxley did during karaoke night. And secondly, I need to know where we can buy that shirt.
All right, first question. Karaoke night. He usually just sits in the front. You know, he vibes to the music. He wants to see who's not shy. He wants to get on stage and sing a song.
You think that's a test for y'all?
I think so. I think he wants to see who's not nervous. He wants to get up there, you know, sing in front of the team. Different stuff like that. And then where you can buy the shirt, you can actually get it, Brown Boy Nation. Yeah, that's the name. You know, that's the guy. Shout out to him. He made it for me. I appreciate him. Yeah, really nice shirt too.
Cool. Those for sale. You can send us the link or something. We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in And for everybody who's listening on the pod and not watching on the video, we'll make all that information known for you guys as well. Tarheeb, every time we do an interview, we end it with fill in the blank. We're going to give you five rapid-fire questions. Say the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
All right,
you ready? Here we go. Every season at Maryland, your win totals have gone up 2, 7, 8. This year's win total will be?
Question mark. I can't make predictions. I'm sorry.
We don't want to get in trouble.
Almost got it. Smart man. The breakout player on this year's team that no one's talking – and none of the cornerbacks you already talked about. The breakout player on this year's team that no one's talking about is?
Ty Felton.
Okay. Your favorite place to hang out in College Park is?
Stamp. Student Union.
Okay.
Nice. Old school. I like it.
The class clown of the football team is?
Germ Spraggins? Yeah, definitely him. We call him Worm. But he's the clown for sure.
All right, last one. The winner of the Big Ten Championship this year will be?
The Maryland Terrapins.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Sir.
You had to get him one way or another, right?
We asked one more thing. If everybody comes on the show, could you do us a favor and say, this is Tarheeb Still, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
This is Tarheeb Still, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
Thank you, Tarheeb, so much. Good luck the rest of the season. Good luck after the season with the NFL and all that stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me on the show.
Hey,
thank you for joining us.
Stay healthy and kick butt, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Tarheem still seems like a fun guy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we got it. We got him to crack a little bit at the end. That was good.
Yeah, we did. The shirt was really nice. It says,
yeah, I can't wear that, but there are like young, fashionable people that could pull that off.
I'm going to wear it just because you said that, Paul. And I'm going to pull it off too. Hey, all right. So people who are listening on the podcast, he had a shirt. It said Heeb in very big, bright yellow and orange and red letters. So that's what the shirt was. But we'll put the links in for people listening. You'll be able to find it on the board and all the other places. Great guy. Awesome Turk.
Yeah, great player, man.
One of the leaders of the program. Probably, I would guess, probably played more downs than anybody on the roster at this point, right? Except maybe Talia.
It's certainly obvious. He certainly seems like a guy who would take control of that locker room, and you know, being able to move around, play multiple positions, just kind of doing whatever the coaches need from him at a high level. Like that's worth its weight in gold. So excited to see all these corners playing well and getting drafted. Like that's good stuff.
So week one in the books, Maryland, according to some people, underperformed. I don't think it was that big a deal. Didn't cover, but we turn our attention now to week two and the projections for the rest of the season. I have done mine. I have collected all the analytics that I get from online. I've gotten hoagies. Now I need your guys. And then we'll add it all up at the end. First of all, if you want to do this quickly, are there any games that you think you might want to change, or you just staying the same for now based on everything you saw? Paul, you're staying the same for now?
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing that makes me change either way.
Jeff?
Yeah, too soon to change anything.
Okay, so you guys are going to stay the exact same. You both still got them about 35th in the country, same thing?
That's where they landed in the poll yesterday. So.
Okay. Let me then.
Or whatever day that was in the coaching poll.
Yeah, well, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to creep all the way up right to the cusp of top 25 by the end of September, maybe inside of it, and then see what happens.
I'm going to share the spreadsheet, Paul's favorite part.
Oh, boy.
Look at the spreadsheet. I did have some changes. Little ones up and down, five here.
Hoagie tanked us.
Hoagie dropped. He was 7.09 wins. He dropped from 35th in the country to 47th in the country, from 7.09 wins down to 6.14, so basically one less. I went up ever so slightly, and you guys did too, only because you had 99% of a win become realized at one full actual win. So you guys are almost the same. I jumped a little bit. I did lower a couple. I lowered Penn State. They hate to say it. Drew Allar looks so good. They look good. I think they might make the playoff. I think they're that good. I lowered them by 10%. A bunch of others up and down, but the record projections slightly improved. Last time it was 18% chance at 7-5. Now it's 20, and all the ones above it, if you're looking on the video, you can see here, everything high got a little better, everything low got a little worse. So that's good. 80% shot at a bowl, according to PFF, 80.4% shot at a bowl, according to team rankings. Everyone's still at about 7 wins. So not much to change in week one, like we said, but that's where we are for right now.
Yeah, Michigan State, Indiana, man. I feel like those are really the two that will kind of determine whether you're, you know, still, you know, teetering on that 7 or 8 win balance or not. You pull up those
Nebraska.
Two.
Nebraska's in that group too.
No, I just mean chronologically we'll get to those first, you know, you get the first real, you know. Like if they go to Michigan State and win that game, and Michigan State looks like, you know, they didn't look great. You know, you end up 5-0 going to Ohio State. I mean, you're still probably going to get waxed at Ohio State, but you still feel pretty good about, you know, the rest of the season staring at the rest of that schedule.
Ohio State actually bumped because Kyle McCord didn't look great. And they have a little bit of a QB controversy maybe brewing. So we'll see. I don't think they're as good this year as they were last year.
I don't know that they are either. But, you know, you're talking about the difference between, like, what, a 10% chance and a 20%
chance. Five. I said I went from five to 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I still did both it though.
Yeah. You're not talking about a lot of movement here.
Right. Northwestern, I bumped. They looked, God, did they look awful.
They're garbage.
They're bad. They're bad, bad, bad. And I bumped, I lowered Rutgers by a smidge from 70 to 67 because, you know, it's at Rutgers and they
that's always been a close game for most of the time. I mean, it's just a weird game since we joined the Big Ten.
The worst part is there's a really strong shot they're going to be 5-6 in that game and need it for a bowl game. And that's the worst. It's just a bad spot. But, yeah, little fluctuations here and there.
Yeah, not much. I don't think there'll be a ton of movement. You know, if they go and they beat Virginia too, you'll probably see just a smidge, you know, percentage movement. But, you know, not really. At Michigan State is the game that I'm paying attention to if you want to know how this is going to end, right? I mean that's a team at a place where they are on the road. If you go up there and you knock them off, you know, you've got to feel pretty good about things.
They struggled for a while with was it Western or Central Michigan? I think Western Michigan.
I think it was Central, but
one of those two. They struggled for two or three quarters.
They did not look very good for sure.
In-state little brothers have it. They can do that, right? So you might take that with a grain of salt, just like the way you take the Towson and Maryland thing with a grain of salt. Like,
yeah. There's a lot of weirdness going on. We don't know.
So I don't know about Michigan State yet, but let's finish this segment of the show with our predictions for the game. Blowouts. How big of a blowout? I assume blowout, or do you think the beef, the animosity is going to get Charlotte enough to make it a close game? No.
Nah, we're gonna smash those dudes. Night game.
Yeah, at home, night game, amped up, knowing that they're fired up. Obviously, Maryland should win by 24 to 28, I would say. Charlotte does have a little bit of talent, though, man. I mean, they, you know, it's not across the board. That's the thing about football. Basketball, a little bit of talent can get you an upset. Much easier football, they got to – obviously, it's a whole different deal. But they have, you know, a couple really good defensive backs, including – C.J. Burton, who was at Boston College last year and was a four-star recruit, transferred there. They have the running back, Darrell Robinson, who was from St. Francis in Baltimore, which is obviously, you know, Biff has close ties there, having been a huge part of that program. It seems like half the roster is from St. Francis Academy. And then Iyabi Oki now. It was Iyabi Anoma. He was a five-star defensive end at St. Francis several years ago. He's been to about 14 different schools, it seems.
Yeah.
Like Alabama, Michigan. What was the one that he left quickly?
Houston, maybe?
Yeah. And he had one good year. I think it was at Houston where he really opened eyes and they started putting him on NFL draft boards. So, you know, they don't have nearly Maryland's talent, but it's not all – underdog kind of guys. They have gotten, you know, managed to bring in some recruits who had a lot of Power Five offers.
Yeah. I mean, I think the line's 25 or 25 and a half, depending on where you look. So they should win comfortably. And again, I think you will still see some, you know, perhaps annoying to some, you know, keeping the foot off the gas here. Like you don't want to throw your whole playbook at a team like that, but you do want to maybe sub a little bit less and really try and figure out who your offensive line guys are. You know, I think that's, you want something that would be a real positive here is, you know, them playing like seven or eight offensive.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Lyman in the first three quarters plus and still winning by four touchdowns. That would be, that'd be nice.
One more interesting connection, obviously, is Mike Miller, their offensive coordinator, was Maryland's tight ends coach and co-offensive coordinator. So he knows what Locksley likes to do. He was around for 4 or 5 years. So you better believe he's been, you know, working with the defensive coordinator all week. So that's going to force Maryland to kind of self-scout and throw some wrinkles in there a little bit, I would think.
Well, vice versa too, right? You know, he was kind of Locks's little offensive understudy. So, you know, if he's going to run a similar situation, you'd like to think that Maryland's going to be prepared for it. You'd certainly rather see them week two after getting a little bit of a look at what they're doing too, as opposed to going in blind.
Yep.
It's always scary. Towson, not so much, but when there's the bad blood, you worry about it a little bit. I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be a big win because I don't think Lox is going to call up the dogs when they get up.
So. Not as early as Towson.
All right.
Be shocked.
Football recruiting, big news this week. There's been a commit. Davin Williams?
Devon.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Neither one. Devon Watkins, 6'5", 315-pound offensive tackle out of St. Mary's in Maryland. He is an 85-rated player, according to 24/7 Sports. Jeff, good? How should we feel about Devon?
I think he's a long-term stock, as many of these offensive linemen they're taking are, because it's so hard to get four-star offensive linemen. You know, he was the offer list isn't similar schools to Maryland. You know, it's Temple and a handful of MAC kind of level schools, but at the same time, he's got a massive wingspan. And I talked to Brian Doan, our regional recruiting analyst, about him. I was expecting him, quite honestly, to say, "Oh, it's a reach" or something like that, based on his offer list. He watched his film and he said his film actually is pretty solid. So he thinks he's got some potential long term, but definitely, you know, not a guy I would expect to be in the mix right away on the offensive line. But few are.
You don't see a lot of St. Mary's Annapolis kids getting Maryland offers. You know, yeah. Competition isn't super and whatnot. But I mean, what is this their eighth offensive line commit, I think, for
and they're all the class. Really similarly ranked and everything.
And you know what? Yeah. Honestly, you know, you're going to get a million transfers. You know, you're going to get a bunch of guys who just, you know, live in the weight room for the next 2 or 3 years and you just see what happens, right? I mean, yeah. that's kind of – that's offensive line recruiting now, and then, you know, just pepper in some transfers, you know, until you can get some of those high school kids to really flourish or decide that, you know, here isn't where they want to be. So, you know, I think casting a wide net when you're not able to get, like, really elite guys – you know, isn't a terrible strategy. And no, frankly, even the elite strategy. Even the elite guys who've gotten over the years haven't always turned out to be even starter quality. So, you know, I'm kind of willing to just trust the staff on these guys and, you know, ask me again in 3 years where we're at.
Reminds me of when under Durkin, they got the four wide receivers that were all similar, like Demas and Carlos Carrier and drawing a blank on the other two names, it was like, all right, which one
Cobb
of these?
Cobb and
Brian Cobb.
Kid who finished Daryl
Jones.
Daryl Jones, maybe.
Yeah, and it's like, which one of these guys is going to work out? Well, Demas did, right?
Yeah,
it worked, like, until the injury, but
you got like 1.5 out of 4, you know, right?
But that's okay.
Yeah. Again, it's well. I mean, this is the game now, right? You know, we're not in a scenario where, if you have a bad recruiting class, it's going to really hamper you down in the future. That's not necessarily the case anymore. because you're going to get, you know, the transfer portal just kind of opened this whole new world of player movement. So it's going to hurt you that you're losing guys, but you're going to pick up some guys too that maybe, you know, can fill in some of those holes that you might have had created with a bad class or a class that didn't work out the way you thought it would. So, you know, it's, we're all kind of experiencing this in live time as it's happening. This is only what, year three of the portal. So we're still seeing how all this is gonna kind of work itself out.
With Mike Locksley, we've talked about this before. I don't love the portal. I think it's okay. Like some of the ideas behind it and giving the players options, I think is okay. The way it's structured and the rules surrounding it, I hate, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat with me. But if that's the world we live in, it's good to have Mike Locksley.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, and you can look at some of the linemen that they brought in this year, you know, comparing, say, Gottlieb, I can't even pronounce his last name, but Bullock, and some of those guys that they brought in from lower division programs, like FCS schools or lower, you know, G5 schools that are taking a step up because they were good football players, as opposed to bringing in, say, a Doomerville from LSU, who was at a, you know, obviously a much better football program, but is dropping down a little bit to come here, and seeing whether, you know, which style transfer is going to be the better bet. Like, I would bet every time on the guy who was successful at a lower level compared to the guy who was at a better school dropping back. So I'd be really curious, just in long-term, looking at the program, seeing how that works out this year and kind of over the next few years. And hope, I'm sure the staff is probably keeping an eye on that too, because they might find themselves doing a lot better plucking good players from the James Madisons of the world, you know, or even the Frostbergs and Towsons of the world, as opposed to, you know, trying to get some local, you know, four-star recruit from 5 years ago to transfer back from LSU or USC. You know what I mean?
That has worked too, though. JC Jackson, for example, and other things like that.
Fair. Yep.
Yeah. But a big chunk, Paul's right. A big chunk of them, it didn't work out because they weren't as good as they were supposed to be, as they were rated, you know?
Right. So, you know, and that's the thing, like, don't tell me, but you know, like, I think there was some discussion about the Charlotte roster. Like, they got a couple guys who were four-star, you know, five-star recruits, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. It's like, all right, well, don't tell me what level recruit they were 3 or 4 years into playing college football. Like, they are what they are at this point, right? You're either a good football player or you're not. So we'll see, right?
Yeah, for the most part, I agree. There's been Byron Coward did well.
Keandre Jones did.
Keandre was fine. Yeah. I mean, who was the kid from Clemson, the linebacker?
Shaq Smith.
Oh, yeah. He was fine, but these were not. No, these were not world beaters.
He barely even got off the bench at Maryland.
Yeah,
that was a weird one because Dabo was like desperately trying to keep him, saying he was faster than his wide receivers, all this stuff. So everybody at Maryland thought they got this star because he'd been a high 4-star recruit coming out of Baltimore. I mean, you're right. They, for the most part, they are what they are.
Yeah, he was just a dude. You know, Isaiah Hazel, another big recruit. You know, he was fine, but, you know, he wasn't knocking anybody's socks off. So, you know, it is what it is.
Speaking but of Dabo, I just man,
they're treading it. Yeah,
those guys might be in some trouble. They've slowly slipped from elite national title winning and title contending team to now, are they not even going to make the ACC championship multiple years? Like,
yeah, it's a real tragedy. Really, really, I mean, really sad.
I'm not sad for them. I'm just saying that.
Well,
people started using Clemsoning again. Did Clemsoning come back out on Twitter? I was on the road, so I didn't get to see if.
They almost got beat too badly to use Clemsoning, but they were, you know, they did kind of give away a game, but they also lost by 3 touchdowns. So I think
they've done enough to earn the right to not have that thrown around, at least for a little while more. They won 2 national titles, and it was just like 5 years, not even 5 years ago.
Yeah, but Dabo's annoying, so we're going to throw it around.
Where'd those coordinators go, by the way? They're not there anymore? Yeah. Imagine that. What a quinky ding. Can't imagine what happened.
Wasn't one changed. Of them was Brent Venables, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yep. He's at Oklahoma now, so
yep.
Who had a Jeez, they won.
Turns out certain used car salesmen might be good organizers and good recruits, but can't coach football. Where we've heard that before.
Look that up before. A little,
state of all Pennsylvania. Right.
Good job, football team. Got through week one. No major injuries. No injuries, really. Well, there was the Leah thing, but it doesn't seem to be a big deal. And they won the game. Got a lot of players in, getting some experience for a lot of players. Move on to week two. And as they move on to week two, we move on to basketball. There was a big visit this week, Jeff. You promised everyone on the board.
Yeah, right.
That yep. Jaden Mustaf will be committing to Maryland to play yep. basketball. Yes?
I didn't promise it's there. A damn thing.
It's there.
No? I promised nothing of that. So, but it'll be interesting. He's deciding very soon. I had a couple updates on the site yesterday, and we'll have more shortly. You know, they're in the mix. He definitely had his, you know, it's always a successful visit. Every visit is great. We know that from following this stuff forever, but I do think that he really did have a visit that really impressed him. He really, I think he was surprised by how much, like going to the football game, how much attention and love the players get there, probably because these other schools, he's, you know, some, not all of them, but like Georgia Tech and some of these others, it's not quite the same. So that'll be interesting, you know, because again, like we've discussed, the list of prospects is not deep. It's about four or five guys right now. We lost, you know, one of the guys off that is off the list as of, you know, Wednesday, with Kenai Roots canceling his visit to Maryland. So now you got to start closing on some of these guys. This week, Ofosa Oliogu, the Canadian wing who we discussed last week, will be visiting. Obviously, we had an update on him on the site on Wednesday. So with some inside stuff about, you know, how he's feeling about things and also his thoughts on possibly switching classes. So that's another big one. And then, you know, after that, you've obviously got Matthew Hodge and Boogie Fland, and then in October, Derek Queen. So, you know, these aren't the sort of guys who are going to usually commit like right off of a visit because they're the higher ranked guys. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see when they can get somebody wrapped up in this class.
Still looking like Derek Queen is the likely one, along with Matthew Hodge and the others. Maybe not. Did the visit help with Jaden Mustaf? Is he closer?
I think it helped. I definitely think it helped. But I think even if you asked people fairly close to him, they would probably tell you that they don't know quite yet. He's going over it all with his family right now. Georgia Tech, Florida State are in the mix. NC State is also in the mix. Indiana, I don't think really is. Arkansas, he says is, but he never took an official there, so we know what that means.
It's not the list of schools you're super excited to be on, given certain NIL considerations, I would say. Even though those are not necessarily big basketball programs, with perhaps the exception of Florida State during the Bunny years. I will say I saw him with the team at the football stadium, and he was having a blast, like taking pictures and, you know, shooting the shit with those guys and with like kind of random fans coming up. So that certainly played out in front of me. You know, I don't know, man. Certainly the vibe is pretty good coming out of there. It's the last visit, right? So, but yeah, man,
Gerard, obviously the former Maryland star, was with him on the visit, seemed to really like it. Interestingly, Maryland tweeted a video of him today, how great it was to have him back, which, you know, is smart maneuvering. Well, and
it doesn't hurt having a little bit of reconciliation with a former player, you know, even if that's all that comes from this.
You know, an interesting thing you mentioned NIL, aside from the fact, as we've discussed many times, more so on the site than on the podcast, that you know, Maryland's NIL program is respectable, but a lot of these, some of these schools they're competing with for these guys, they're shelling out, no pun intended, a lot more money. And with these guys, with Mustaf last week and Oliogu this week, both of them have transferred to Overtime Elite this year, and they're both going to make six figures this year. So that makes it a little harder on Maryland if you're trying to pitch, take a little bit of a discount because we have a better program, because no one wants to go backwards in salary, right? And what they're making this year with Overtime Elite, I don't know if they'd make that necessarily. So that I think makes it a little tougher because, you know, they're conditioned to making pretty good money.
And with Oliogu, he's Canadian, right? We've had some issues with Canadian players in the past. They don't necessarily have that dream of playing American college basketball the way some of the American kids do. They're looking for a track to the NBA. And I don't know, I would suspect that it's not necessarily Willard's number one recruiting pitch to a lot of these guys. So, you know, guys going to Overtime Elite and then recruiting them here is not necessarily the pathway that you're super excited to see. But I don't know, man, they got to find a way to get two of these guys at least. And
I mean, you can, the good thing he can sell to them is a major role right away, especially Mustaf. He's probably going to be a point guard. Maryland, you know, Jameer Young's going to be gone. So there's a boatload of playing time there. So you can really tell him you're going to come in and play a huge role right off the bat. Same with most of the guys, really, because Dante Scala, other than at center with Julian Reese, who we don't know what will happen with him next year necessarily, but
you got to count on him leaving, yeah, right? I mean, if you're being real about it, right?
Jeff, odds that he leaves.
It's really hard because he's not on any of the mock drafts right now at all.
Yeah.
Not even that's a good the second round. Not in the second round even, but that's because he played low posts both years and hasn't really had a chance to show his perimeter skills, which he does have perimeter skills. You know, I watched him before he got to Maryland, and he was pretty good attacking the basket. Last year, he showed a soft touch a few times when he was able to here and there on some jump shots. So, you know, I think there's a decent chance if he gets, you know, enough opportunities to show that off this year, his stock could climb. But right now, he's not in any of the mock drafts. But then again, as we know, you don't have to be a first rounder to declare these days. You know, there's so many guys who leave and not only aren't even in the first round, but don't get drafted at all, and they're just ready to go. So if you don't know what a guy's mindset is, there's no telling. But with NIL now, and Willard views NIL more so, I think, as a retention tool than a recruiting tool. You know, Maryland will, if he's willing to come back, Reese, if he's not, you know, dead set on going, which I don't think he is, you know, he'll be able to make some pretty good money. And we've seen that work. You know, we saw it with, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe and all these other guys who came back for an extra year. So it's a little different ball. I mean, you look at Caleb Williams on the football side right now. I'm not saying Julian Reese is Caleb Williams. His dad's talking about if he doesn't like, you know, who's first in the draft, who's picking first, he could stay. At first, it seems outlandish, but he's reportedly making like $2.5 million in NIL this year. So anyways, long story short, that makes it really hard to project who's coming back and who is not coming back, especially the guys who, you know, you would think by now would want to leave, but also aren't projected first round picks.
There's a lot of trepidation about the class right now, Jeff. People worry, no commits yet. And as you're saying, the list is dwindling. This is getting kind of scary. Do you agree?
I can see that. I mean, you have to wonder if Willard maybe knows a little more than we know on some of these guys, because he knows, and I talked about this with a source today, he knows what his NIL budget is. He has a good idea what these guys need, and yet he's still all in on these 4- and 5-star guys without really having a lot of backup plans. So, well, he's not crazy.
That's what's scary, right?
Like, yeah, that's what's scaring the crap out of me.
Right.
I mean,
well, that should be scary for a fan. But yeah. My point is that it's not like he's just saying to hell with it. Like, he's not doing any calculations. He's calculating it all day, every day, even more than us, even more than Hoagie. Right?
We've seen
maybe more than Hoagie.
So, we've seen each of the last two coaches not succeed on plan A's and then not have plan B's in place. Both of the last two have done that.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying it's outside the realm of possibility. I'm just saying when you do the math of the fact that they're going after these highly rated guys and seemingly not really anybody else, he has to know he's not just going to, you know, he's not going to just say, oh, to hell with it. We'll try. And if we don't get him, we'll just go get, you know, a bunch of three stars. So he has to feel good about some things. I know that they've felt good about Derek Queen for a while. I think as long as the NIL, I hate bringing it all back to NIL over and over and over again, that really gets old. But, you know, as long as that's right, I like their chances there. So, you know, anyways, I, when you think about it, it's hard to imagine that he's knowing the situation is just flying without a parachute.
Yeah, this is very much a you kind of have to trust Willard to know his level and to know whether he can pull this off. I mean, you know, I assume that, you know, when you think about these guys, they're all kind of these megalomaniac, you know, you don't get this successful at a thing without being having quite the ego and confidence in your abilities. So, you know, the difference is this going to be, you know, like that monster class for Turgeon that fell apart, you know, where you swing for the fences and it doesn't work out. And then you kind of reconstitute your recruiting for what you feel like your level is. Or can he go and pull two or even three of these guys and say, yeah, this is my level. I can do it better. Because we haven't had a coach who's pulled recruits of this level consistently for any reason. And certainly seeing that happening now with a new coach and in the NIL era would certainly be quite the shot in the arm for this program if he can pull it off. But boy, it's scurry.
Well, the other thing is there's not that many spots open on the roster. You know, you're going to have transfers like always. I think when I look at this roster, I think less transfers than in recent years, but you're always going to have at least like one or two. But as of right now, there's only two or three spots open, depending on if Jahari Long comes back another year. So you really can only get two or three of these guys and then go and get a guy or two in the portal. So if you can just get Derek Queen and anybody else, you've done great. You know, you don't need to get, it's not a situation where you're expecting to get four guys. So I'm sure that's part of the math too.
Well, let's be real though, right? I mean, you know, you're losing Jameer, you know, you're losing Dante, you know, you're losing Geronimo. So that's probably three of your top six guys. Well, right. Geronimo's off the top.
He's listed on the roster as a junior. So
is he still somehow? Okay. Yeah. Maybe there's a COVID year in there. So maybe I'm wrong. In that case, you got two of your top six, certainly two of your top, you know, three players probably. And then you're looking at, you know what Long would do. And then, I mean, I just can't imagine that Reese would stick around for four full years. I figure he goes pro or he transfers to try and win a natty somewhere. Yeah. So yeah, you might only be looking at two scholarships, but you could be looking anywhere, you know, up to probably five opening up or six, even depending on what the other guys do. So that, I think that's what scares me more than anything. Like, you know, you don't know, DHS could go be Hood Schifino this year and be gone too. I mean, there's just so many questions, man.
Paul, that is one of the worst things I've ever heard said on this radio show. He might transfer to try and win a natty. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Paul.
Look, here's the difference between me and you. I know what we are now. Okay, I've lived the past 20 years since that national title, and we are not a national title caliber program at this point. I would love for that to change, but we're not. We're just not. We're not bringing in the talent to do that, to pull that off. I would love Willard to come in and be that guy, but until you show me something, dude, we're just Maryland. We're going to win 22 a game. We're going to get a, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 seed. We're going to be out by Sweet 16. That's what we do. Until we don't.
That is a painful, painful statement.
He could
Paul.
Go pro. I don't see him. He's a homebody. He loves Maryland. I think if he goes anywhere, it'll be going pro. But I mean, that what Paul says is obviously in this environment, you know, happens far more often. But I think in his case, I don't think he'll go anywhere else.
You're certainly more informed on Julian personally than I am.
I mean, just, his sister did, so it's not out of the question. But she also was enjoying her Maryland experience about 10%, I think, as much as he has so far. So
fair to say. I will also say he was out there having a great time with a bunch of randos coming up and bothering him for pictures of the football game. So he certainly seemed like he was having a good time. But I don't know.
I think there's a great chance he could boost his stock and be a first rounder, and then it's a moot point, you know.
Or they could throw money at him and try and keep him, like Shibway or Hunter Dickinson, those guys who had the opportunity to go pro and just stayed to get more money in college.
They better get their money up. Those guys got, you know, $1 million or whatever.
TurtleNIL.com or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. help the cause.
TurtleNIL.com. Okay.
Subscribe to our YouTube page and then go directly to that website. Yes, please. And then go to the other website and buy a Heat shirt.
Yes.
And then do go all IMS and subscribe.
Yes. Okay. So let's get this in order, right?
Go ahead. Do the list, Paul.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we will end the show with some Maryland trivia. I've got two sort of standard trivia questions, and then I've got two that are lists where you guys are going to have to come up with the answers in a list. Okay. Well, since the first two are straight questions, I'll direct one at each of you, and then the last two will go back and forth. So, Jeff, we'll start with you. It's kind of tough. Not that tough. Second one's real tough for Paul.
Right.
Good.
Mike Locksley has two bowl victories at Maryland. Name the head coaches in Maryland history that have had more.
Friesen, Ross.
Correct. Incorrect.
Really? Oh, geez. Krivak?
He wasn't quite here long enough for him.
Krivak. Yeah. Krivak got one tie. And that's
Cherry Bowl?
Paul, do you want to chip in?
Tatum.
Incorrect.
Really?
Huh. Really?
I know he won at least that one bowl the year they didn't win the Natty.
Yep. Matt Canada.
He lost the other one.
Not Matt Canada.
I know. But,
the other. See,
there's not a lot of coaches left.
The other possibility is Jerry Claiborne. But yeah, not
Claiborne didn't
either. Yeah. Mike Locksley is tied for second all time in bowl wins with two.
That is pathetic.
We suck so bad.
I know. I was looking at the thing. I was like, I got to do this. Friesen was 5-2. Awesome. Tatum was 2-3-1. So only two wins.
But we'll give him, so he had two, but yeah.
We'll give him the tiebreaker because he did get a tie, 2-3-1. Mm-hmm. Bobby Ross, 2-2. Jerry Claiborne, 2-5.
Mm.
Locks, yeah, I know, 2-0.
I know those good teams in the 80s lost a lot of bowl games. Like they didn't quite pull them up. But that was, and I remember Tatum was weird because the year he won the Natty, they lost the bowl game.
Right.
But the other year that they went undefeated and didn't win the Natty, they won the bowl game. So it was yeah.
Right.
Well, that's just another illustration of how impressive Ralph's accomplishments were, huh?
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, someone needs to send that to the College Football Hall of Fame committee.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dude, all right, that was
on his back. Yeah.
That was number one. Paul, here we go. We'll give you first crack. And
so that was the easy one, apparently.
That was the easy one. All if right. you if you can't get it all, we'll bring in Jeff. We'll see. All right. Maryland has been in five conferences in its history. Name them.
Okay. Big Ten, ACC, Southern.
Yes.
That's my three also. That's it. What a coincidence.
That's all I got. I'm not even going to be bothered with the others. I don't know them.
Before the Southern Conference was the South Atlantic Intercollegiate Athletic Association.
Of course.
And before that, in the early 1900s, for about 3 years, they were in the Maryland Intercollegiate Football Association with schools like Gallaudet.
Ooh.
Now, here's the second part of that. How many conference titles did they win in each one of those conferences? So I think, Paul, you might be able to kind of parse some of this.
So there's none in the Big Ten.
Correct.
There's two in the ACC. No, wait, they were no, because they were in the ACC for a long time. I can see those pennants on the side of Gossett in my head, but I can't count how many of them were. I'd say there's probably like seven or eight.
Nine.
Okay.
And they're still third all time in conference championships behind Clemson and Florida State.
It's not bad.
Okay, go ahead. Southern.
Oh shit, I don't know. They were not very good at football before Tatum got there at all. So probably none.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I won't make it.
Yeah, you're wasting everybody's time with the other
two. The other two were also zero.
Okay.
So they have nine conference titles in their history, and they all came from the ACC.
Okay.
Gallaudet had the number, I remember.
Yeah.
Gallaudet did win some of the conference titles, by the way. I looked at the history of the conference. They did. So
I'm not going to make that joke. Carry on.
Yes.
Not touching that one.
No.
All right. Number three, you guys are going to alternate here until you run out. And we're going to basketball now. And it is going to be the draft picks from Maryland since 2000. There have been 17 that have been drafted in the NBA since 2000.
Man, name the so player
and the team they got drafted by.
Oh, there's no way. Jessica, just give it to Jeff. But yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it.
We'll start with Jeff. Go ahead.
We'll go Steve Francis and the Grizzlies.
He's incorrect.
Wait, what year did you say?
Since 2000.
Well, that was 99, wasn't it? All right, start over.
Okay. Rules are hard, Jeff.
Okay, right. Go ahead.
Oh, you asshole. I was gonna say before Jeff says Juan Dixon the Wizards, I will say Juan Dixon the Wizards and win, and then we can go and keep going just for sport.
Okay, he said one. Go ahead, Paul.
Herter and the Hawks.
Correct, Jeff.
Jalen Smith and the Suns.
Correct, Paul.
Oh man. Grievous and the Pelicans. Or whatever New Orleans was.
Yes, yeah, I'll give it to you. They were the Hornets back then, but okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll go Chris Wilcox and the Sonics.
Nope.
The Sonics didn't draft him?
No.
Hold on. Was it the Clippers?
Clippers.
Oh, he got traded to the Sonics. All right. Well, okay. Paul, you got me.
Paul, go ahead. Well, keep going.
Steve Blake and the Wizards, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Jeff?
Second round.
Jake Lehman and the Trailblazers.
No. He didn't get drafted.
No. Oh, he got drafted and traded immediately to them, didn't he?
I don't remember. I just have the list.
That was a draft and trade deal. Who picked him?
Orlando Magic.
Oh, okay, but he never played for them. That was a draft night deal. He was a rookie with them.
Yeah, that does make it tough, man. They do a lot of the sign and trade, draft and trade. All right, so Bruno and the Rockets?
No.
Or was that another one of those?
Yeah. Not the Hawks.
I said the Rockets.
Not the Rockets or the Hawks.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
I'm trusting that Wikipedia is right, by the way. So,
who drafted Bruno?
They're telling me in the chat that Wikipedia says Maryland has 11 conference titles in football. That's not what I saw, but okay.
They're all in the ACC, I imagine, anyway.
Well, they definitely have nine in the ACC. Yeah. I don't know where the other two are coming from because I looked back.
The Warriors? Did the Warriors pick
you? Sorry, who were we on again?
Bruno I just Fernando. Lost track.
Fernando got drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, that's a draft and trade deal also because he never played for them either.
Yeah.
All right. You guys.
Who we got? Wiggins and Oklahoma City, right?
Correct. Very good.
Better at this than I thought. All right.
Jeff?
How many we got left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, man, that's a lot. Who else was good? It feels weird saying that.
Can't remember who got drafted.
Jordan Williams and the Nets.
That is correct. And if Paul, just go in any order you want to now, if you can think of them. You don't have to wait for Paul.
Man, I'm getting.
There's some monsters on here that you guys.
Yeah, I know. It's hard, man. There's a lot of players over 20 years, 23 years.
You want me to
see? Mello, don't say it. Don't you say it yet.
Mello didn't. Cowan didn't.
Nope.
None of the other point guards.
Justin Jackson and the Magic?
Justin Jackson and the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, that's another trade deal. I don't think he ever played for them either.
He didn't play for anybody for very long, did he?
One of Melo's teammates for only one season.
Did Robert Carter get drafted by the Warriors, or was he undrafted free agent? I can't remember.
It does not say that he got drafted.
He did get a cup of coffee in the league.
One,
I don't know the
center.
Diamond Stone was drafted by
Clippers.
No.
New Orleans, I'm not remember.
Pelicans.
Okay, he got traded too. He never played.
Yeah.
I was going to say one center whose father talked about us a lot on the show. Okay.
All right, you just give us the rest because we're not
going to. Hold on. Yeah. Give me one more hint.
The first player that got drafted under Turgeon.
Charles Mitchell.
Oh, Alex Len.
yes.
And Phoenix or
Suns,
correct?
Right?
Phoenix Suns. Is correct. Yeah. All right. 2 second rounders in 2007 and 2008.
Gist
is one.
I have no idea where he went.
San Antonio Spurs and right. A famous athlete's son is the other.
Oh, Strawberry. DJ. And yeah. Phoenix, right?
Phoenix. Correct. Phoenix. The other two were on Final Four national championship teams. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Lonnie. The Wizards didn't draft. The Wizards drafted him, didn't they? Or hold on.
No, but he ended up there. Yeah.
Chicago Bulls. The other one was on the Final Four team, but not.
Oh, Terrence Morris.
Terrence Morris.
And I also have no idea where he went.
Yeah, I don't think he ever played a minute in Houston.
Atlanta Hawks. He played 139 games.
Okay.
Really?
All right. We did better with that than I thought.
I never realized he played. I mean, it's a year and a half. It's not.
Yep, 139 games. There are two that according to Wikipedia say they played zero games. One is Justin Jackson. One is James Gist. So.
Okay.
There's your NBA picks. Last one.
I'm kind of patting myself on the back for that. I was better at that than I thought I would be.
Last one. 24/7 Sports. If you go to their recruiting pages and you look at the list of targets and commitments, they will show you the all-time highest rated commits in the history of your program. So for basketball, I have the top 10. Now, remember, this only goes back for as long as 24/7 has been tracking it. So Len Bias and Juan Dixon and Walt Williams and Joe Smith are not going to be in there, right? So it's only within the last, 15-ish years or so. So name the top 10 rated recruits, according to 24/7 Sports and Maryland Basketball, for the last 15-ish years or so. If you want to try and guess what the rating was too, Jeff, you might be able to do that. So do you want to alternate again? You want to throw them out? Good, Jeff.
Yeah, let's
you start.
And the rating in terms of like, what number they were overall?
Yeah, the number. No. They're not like were they the number five recruit. They're like score rating.
Oh, no. I don't focus much on those. I could tell you.
Okay.
They're overall.
Yeah, it's got like number, like top 100 national kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I would say Diamond Stone. He was.
Yes.
He was around number eight. He might have fell late, though, to like the team.
I did not bring those numbers in, okay. So I can't
Diamond tell Stone.
You. Yes, Diamond Stone. Okay, Paul.
Was Mike Jones too old for this?
Nope, he's in there. Okay, number four.
Mike Jones.
Number four.
Yeah,
Four all time. I'll tell you, Diamond Stone
was the number two shooting guard behind LeBron James, as I remember being told over and over and over and over.
Diamond Stone was 0.9971. That's really high. Mike Jones was 0.9856. And who just, you just said Melo Trimble. Yes, he's number six at 0.9831. Okay, Paul, who you got?
Juju. Juju was he was a top 30, I think, by the end of it. So 0.97.
Jalen Smith.
Julian Reese.
Oh, Jesus.
Jalen Smith was my next guest, though.
But thanks for giving us the next answer.
No, that was my next, right. That was my next one.
I just had a complete total brain fart. Sorry. Julian is number 10, so you get that one, 0.9773, and Jalen was number two, 0.9943. Sorry. Okay. You can go again, Jeff.
Yes. Since I was going to say Jalen Smith, but I'll Deshaun Harris Smith has got to be right around the 8 or 9 range, right?
He's third.
Third? Wow.
Third. Yeah. 0.9876.
Okay. Dude, you have to understand how bad our basketball recruiting has been in the past 20 years.
That's not
I understand more than anybody on earth.
Yeah, Jeff knows.
It's not bad.
It's just not Duke, Kentucky.
It's not elite.
I mean, you're talking about 20 years, and we've got like, what, two or one top 10 kid in that time period. Like, that's garbage for a program of what we think we are anyway. I think Kenny Beckway was weirdly a top recruit.
I think this probably depends on the site. I think it may be before the rankings because that was 2002-ish, right?
Okay. Like,
that's
Yeah.
I think that's Aaron before Wiggins? Aaron Wiggins. Yeah,
Wiggins would have been another one.
He's number 5.9845. You're missing numbers 7, 8, and 9.
I think Justin Jackson was up there too, right?
Nope, not in the list.
Herder?
No.
Cowan?
No.
He wasn't that high.
One monster and two shockers. One of the greatest Terps of all time.
How far are we going back again? How far are we going back?
I think it goes back to like the mid-aughts.
Grievous got fairly high towards the end, right?
Grievous is the monster. Yeah. He's number 7 at 0.9819.
He was outside the top 100, and then Montrose had that crazy game against Oak Hill, and I think he jumped like 40 spots or something. Like,
Number 8 and 9, and I will tell you, neither of these guys finished their career with Maryland.
Not Sean Mosley then.
Shaq Clear is one of them.
Shaq Clear is one of them. Number 8 at 0.9787. And one more.
Stoglin?
Suck it long.
Mayor of Baltimore.
I had the wrong guy. It wasn't him. It wasn't Nick Faust. It's not Nick Faust. I had the wrong guy. Sorry.
Hold on.
It was another guard, though. Around that time.
Stoglin?
No, he was outside the top 100.
Very highly rated guard. I'm trying to remember even where he went.
Hold on.
I'm going to tell you, we don't want dead air, so.
Just pulling off the site right now.
I can't think of any other floppy. What year did you say, Larry? 2007.
He is that time frame-ish. He's beginning of Turgeon.
That's crazy.
I mean, there were a lot of kids going in and out at that point, right?
Did he play for Turgeon?
For 1 year, I think he played, and then
not Sean Mosley.
No.
That was the Seth Allen, Charles Mitchell, Shaq Clear.
Yeah, it's none of those guys. None of them were highly ranked.
So yeah, I can't.
Someone he inherited.
It might have been his very first recruiting class.
I mean, Seth Allen, none of those guys. Yeah. Sam Cassell wasn't highly rated.
Maybe I'm getting some facts incorrect. So I'm going to tell you guys.
It's got nothing.
Roddy Peters.
Oh, damn it. Of course.
Wasn't he? Like,
yeah. he tore up like the Nike camp or something 1 year and then just exploded, even though he had nothing resembling a jump shot or pretty much anything else.
He was a border. He was almost a 5-star recruit.
Yeah. Yep.
Kansas wanted him. That's the one guy Maryland, funny.
Yeah, the one time we beat Kansas.
Every time these Kansas battles come up, I say, hey, they won for Roddy Peters, so it's they can do it. They can beat those.
He's number nine at .9783. So there's your top 10 all-time Maryland basketball recruits.
That was a good topic.
That was a great topic, but also makes me even more depressed about the last 20 years.
You know what? If that makes you depressed, don't ever look at the top highest rated football recruits.
Oh, I've seen that one too.
Don't look at that list if that makes you depressed.
Stephon Diggs is number one, I think.
Yeah, he's come here.
Diggs is number one. There's a couple other guys who panned out, and there's a lot of
certified trappers on there, isn't he?
He's on there.
The two offensive linemen that came like in back-to-back years, Damian Prince, and who was the other? They were back-to-back years. They had five-star offensive linemen. No,
it was a little before that.
Somebody.
It was a tackle.
Somebody's gonna remember who that was. I said Damian Pierce. That's the
right. Oh my god! I should remember that.
I just had my fantasy football draft last night, so.
Wesley Jefferson was another one, though.
Linebacker.
Yeah. I think he was. He's got to be.
He was a huge recruit.
Nope. And then last
he,
year,
he was the one
year,
who
two or three years ago. Terrence Lewis has got to be top. Yeah. He's way up there too. Never even set foot on the field. And
all right, I'm going. All right, it's Stephon Diggs is number one. Wesley Jefferson number two. Melvin Ilaizy. Terrence Lewis, Rakim Jarrett, Damian Prince, Vernon Davis, Trey Covington, Nick Cross, and number 10, Chop Robinson. So. A bunch of these guys ended up transferring.
I told you you didn't want to look at it.
Yeah. So that's like two guys who literally never played a snap for Maryland. One guy in Trey Covington, who I think had Trey sacks through 4 years of playing at Maryland. And Chop, who was here for a cup of coffee. Yeah, God, this is terrible. Why do we do this? What are we even doing with our lives right
now? Fun trivia. We have an addiction, Paul.
I got kids to feed.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to reconsider my life choices, man.
We have an addiction. This is our addiction, right? Some people are addicted to alcohol. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some are addicted to gambling. Man, I'm addicted to food. I can't stop eating, but I'm also addicted to this.
You need to end this show, dude. I need to go like sit in a dark room by myself for a minute and just contemplate life.
Yes.
That's bad. That's bad, bad, bad.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody who joined us live. Had a smaller crowd tonight, but thank you for joining. And there were some more comments in there about JC Jackson being healthy was one. Some compliments on Tarheeb's shirt. To bring it back full circle to the interview earlier. But if you are still here, please subscribe. If you're listening on the podcast later, do us a favor and log into YouTube and hit that subscribe for us. Trying to build it up.
And write a review. Apparently that matters.
Reviews are good.
Yeah.
Comments are good. All of that stuff is good. So hit like and subscribe and all those things. Thank you very much. And what were the other things we wanted people to contribute? The Tar Heaps thing and subscribe to I Am Inside Maryland Sports. And what was the other stuff? Oh, Turtle NIL donate there, right? Like
you got yourselves a checklist.
Let's just knock all that out. And the chat comes through with Derwin Gray. That is the other five-star lineman I was trying to think of. And they were back-to-back years, and they both weren't
fine.
Five-star players.
They were fine. No, yeah.
Neither one of them caught on in the NFL.
Calvin Ashley. Well, no, Derwin Gray sucked too.
Derwin Gray sucked.
But he never made it.
No.
Remember those two or three days when everyone thought Calvin Ashley was transferring? That was very fun.
He was also not very good at football. So this whole five-star lineman thing doesn't always work out.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good show. Good job in the trivia. We had a great guest, Tarheeb. Very fun guy and a great Terp and a great player. And hopefully he's going to have a really good, healthy season. And then hopefully he's going to get drafted at the end of the year. We are going to be going every Wednesday night now, guys. So be ready for that. Next Wednesday, look for it. Make it part of your regular Wednesday night routine. When you're coming back on Wednesdays, we'll let you know who the guests are. and we'll see you next week. This is IMS Radio.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central. On CBS and streaming on Paramount+.